Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 107 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Ryan Davis, here again with Sean Sears. How's it going, man?
Doing good. I am a little nervous for today. I'll be at Wrigley Field, so we'll have to see how that goes. Hopefully I don't mess it up.
Yeah, congratulations on that. That's a very fun experience, your first time going and sitting in the press box and doing, you know, that kind of thing. I remember how nervous I was my first day, and you'll be fine. You've got Tony Andracki, who's absolutely wonderful. He'll be showing you around. He kind of did the same thing for me, even though I wasn't working for the same outlet. He's a good guy.
That's good. Yeah. Tony seems like he'll be able to hopefully take me under his wing.
So first thing I have on the agenda for today is a fun fact, and then we'll talk about tonight's game against the Cardinals that you'll be at. Then I've got our second segment. We'll talk about a piece that Jesse Rogers wrote that I found fairly interesting, kind of adds to our Jacob deGrom talk from the last podcast. And then third segment, I ran a poll that we can discuss, and maybe we also have a question from a listener. So the fun fact that I have is that tonight will be the very first time the Cubs will have faced the Cardinals in a game where the Cardinals were not managed by either Mike Matheny or Tony La Russa since September 27th, 1995. And that was when Mike Jorgensen, who I've never heard of, had taken over for Joe Torre, who was let go early in the year. The Cubs won that game 5-3, and Luis Gonzalez led off with a home run.
Oh.
if you remember Luis Gonzalez's famous stint with the Cubs, I think a lot of people only think of him with the Diamondbacks and hitting like 58 home runs. But
right.
Yeah, he wasn't quite the slugger with the Cubs. Sammy Sosa, Mark Grace, and Sean Dunstan all played in that game.
Wow.
That tells you how long it's been.
Yeah,
it's been
a while. That's a throwback for sure.
So tonight's game, Cubs and Cardinals, they're the only game on the schedule, so it'll be an ESPN game starting 6:05, kicking off this five-game series. Kyle Hendricks starts against Carlos Martinez. An interesting stat, Hendricks in his last five games against the Cardinals has a 2.64 ERA. Martinez in his last five against the Cubs, a 5.60 ERA. Coming into the game, the Cubs are 17-13 in their last 30 games, while the Cardinals are 12-18 in that same period. So, thoughts going into tonight's game?
Yeah, I'm excited. It feels like the Cubs should be, you know, at this point, distancing themselves from a Cardinals team that just lost their manager. Doesn't seem to have much going offensively. There's kind of question marks that kind of a little bit all over this roster, where the Cubs are coming into this, you know, looking like one of the best teams in the National League, refreshed, hopefully in Anthony Rizzo, that is going to be the guy we've seen the last 5 years plus coming back the second half. It just seems like the Cubs have a lot of good things going for them, where the Cardinals are kind of trying to, you know, pull together and still be relevant by the end of the season.
Yeah, and their new manager, Mike Shildt, he has no big league managing experience, but he has managed in the minors. He never played professional baseball, which I find a really interesting pick, at least for interim manager. The Cardinals don't seem like the kind of organization that would accept or embrace a guy as a manager who never managed in the pros. That doesn't seem to kind of go along with their old school hard line of thinking. So
that's true.
It's an interesting pick for them. And the one thing I'm worried about for the Cubs is, and maybe this is a little superstitious versus factual, but you tend to think maybe they're like, when teams fire a manager that like their whole roster hates and is just really kind of toxic by that point, and they bring in a new guy, there always seems to be that first little jolt where they win some games. And I feel like the Cubs are catching them at that time where the Cardinals could take off at the start of the second half before they, you know, kind of regress to the mean.
Yeah, no, that's something I was thinking about too, honestly. I don't know, with it being this Cubs-Cardinals rivalry, I'm sure like both sides will be at least semi-excited for with the fans being there. And clearly, like, every Cardinals game at Wrigley Field does really well attendance-wise. So there should be plenty of people there regardless of it being a Thursday. So that brings a whole other level to it. But yeah, it's a good point. I'm not as worried about it just because I feel like the Cubs are riding a high through this All-Star break coming out at now. And whereas the Cardinals, like I was saying before, like even with, you know, like the kind of universal, like, oh, thank God, like we can do what we want to do now without Matheny. I still feel like this team is just kind of, I don't know. I mean, they're the Cardinals. They always have an identity, and it's usually just pretty good at baseball. But this team just doesn't feel like it has. Like, they talk about the leadership on this club, but I don't feel like there's the guy that they look towards. It's maybe Yadi Molina, but I just don't know if he's the guy you want leading your team out of, you know, kind of a bad slump.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's had kind of a career in the power department, but yeah, as far as like he's not a star hitter. He's just their star catcher, who's, you know, obviously beyond his prime years. But yeah, you're right. Paul DeJong is a good player, but he's not ready for that kind of leadership role, I don't think. Dexter Fowler would be a great leader, but he's been so terrible this year. Mm-hmm. Found it really interesting that he homered in his first plate appearance after Mike Matheny was fired. That was really interesting.
Yeah, just maybe a little extra motivation. Somebody, yeah. You know, take this as you leave type of situation.
Yeah, but you know, I could see anything happening in this series. Honestly, I could see anything from one team sweeping the other to, you know, the Cubs taking three. It's really hard when you have a 5-game series to kind of gauge. I always think back to the Cubs had a 5-game series with the Cardinals at Wrigley back in 2003. I think that was in late August or early September, and at that moment, I think the Cubs took 4 out of 5 and really kind of like spaced themselves between the Cubs and the Cards in the division. And that was kind of like the moment when it's like, okay, the Cardinals run is kind of over at this point. The Cubs are the clearly best team in the division. So I feel like the Cubs don't necessarily need to come out and establish that, because they've been the best team in the division since basically August of 2015. But I feel like for the Cardinals, they need to come in. They know they need to come in and take at least 3 of these games to establish themselves as like a serious contender.
Yeah, no, if you're the Cardinals, you know you have to do well against this Cubs team. And particularly just because, you know, divisional-wise, they would jump a massive amount and put them right back into the picture this early in the second half would be huge. But on top of it, it's just like, you know, I mean, the Cubs are the best team in the National League right now, record-wise. And, you know, to steal the 4 of these games or 3 of these games or whatever it may be from the Cubs would be huge, just for like momentum speaking. Like, that's a massive shift for a team that, like we're talking about, is kind of teetering from, you know, competitive to maybe kind of realizing that this might not be their year.
Yeah. All right. Well, we don't have to talk too much about that anymore. You'll get your experiences at the ballpark tonight, and then you'll have some interesting things to talk about. I guess maybe you're not going to be on the podcast tomorrow, but when you're back, next week, you'll have some interesting things to talk about from your experiences at the ballpark. Yeah, you'll get some good stuff. You'll learn some things that you'll want to bring to the podcast.
I'm excited.
All right, let's go to our second segment and talk about a fun fake trade that I didn't make up this time. So after we talked yesterday, Jesse Rogers wrote a piece for ESPN that also kind of came up with an idea of what the Cubs might need to trade for Jacob deGrom. Now, where I wrote and what I said on our podcast yesterday, I didn't source from anybody. It was my own thought. And what I had basically said was that if the Cubs offered Addison Russell, Ian Happ, and Mike Montgomery for Jacob deGrom, they'd probably get hung up on. That's because, in my opinion, the Mets don't need to trade deGrom. He's under contract for a few more years. They don't have to send him anywhere. They can try and take like the most ridiculous high bid. They can ask for the moon. So I feel like they would want more than that. According to Jesse, he talked to like anonymous sources within the National League, like scouts and executives. And his hypothesis in the article was that the Cubs could acquire DeGrom for a combination of Ian Happ, Mike Montgomery, and like 2 good prospects. If that's indeed the case, I am completely flipping my position on whether the Cubs will acquire DeGrom. If that is indeed what it would take, I don't imagine any scenario where Theo Epstein hesitates to complete this deal. What are your thoughts?
Exactly. Like, if that's the deal, why DeGrom might be a Cub already. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, like you said, that, I mean, that's not necessarily a steal. That just feels like maybe a little bit light of a trade, but it's a good trade, I think, if you're the Mets. The big thing is, it's just like, you know, Jacob deGrom, like he said, the biggest thing is you don't have to move him. The Mets probably think, I mean, after the way they started the season, that they're not that far away from being a competitive team. They've got a good roster. They've got some underperforming prospects, like Amed Rosario, who has, you know, looked like was their top prospect and their entire system and has been kind of disappointing since coming up. They've got options. They don't have to necessarily trade DeGrom. And that's why I feel like they'd have to be blown away from a trade. But if this were the trade that they were heavily considering, which it sounds like Jesse was saying, Hap is a piece that a lot of people in baseball are intrigued by. If he's the headliner for this deal and they can make this happen, no question in my mind, Theo Epstein is going to move Ian Happ. No slight to that guy. I mean, he's clearly turned his season around quite a bit. Maybe not to the exact extent of being, you know, a very, very good player, but he's at least showing progression and being better at the play. But yeah, that's the deal. There's no doubt in my mind, you know, thanks for playing, but, you know, have fun in New York. It would be like the message, you know?
Right. Yeah. And this is the kind of thing that when we talked about Derek Dietrich on the Marlins yesterday, and what I wrote in my piece was that a bigger deal would have to preclude a deal like that. And this is the kind of deal that I think of, you know, if Ian Happ gets traded away in a DeGrom deal, the Cubs could turn around and take, you know, players from their minors that the Marlins might like, you know, Dwayne Underwood, Dylan Maples, the kind of guys we talked about yesterday, trade them for Derek Dietrich. And all of a sudden you've got probably a guy at least as good as Happ, a little bit older, and maybe not as, you know, maybe not as flexible defensively. I don't think he could play center field all that well, but, you know, a guy that has talent, a guy that's a good hitter. He has some of the same problems that Happ does, you know, strikeouts and all that, but a talented hitter that can be your extra guy who can play all over the field. That pretty much covers everything you had to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, that nail in the head there, right? Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, that's what you would be looking for in that type of player. And if that's what you're getting back, I mean, I don't see too much negative with these guys that they're getting. I just feel like the biggest hang is going to be that the Mets feel like they can get more. And if teams like the Brewers or the, you know, Phillies or whoever feels like they need to acquire a pitcher at this point, can top that, which I think some of them can prospect wise, that's huge. But if, you know, the Mets are serious about trying to, you know, make this rebuild as short as possible, or maybe retool instead of rebuild, I think the Cubs probably have the best ready now players for that. It's just, you know, do you want to wait 2 years to be competitive, or do you want to be competitive next year, or do you want to be competitive in 4 or 5 years? And I don't know. I feel like if you're trading DeGrom, you also are probably accepting that, you know, the next, you know, 3 years of controllability that we have for DeGrom aren't going to be utilized in the best way possible. So that's what makes me think the Cubs don't have much of a chance here. Because if they are trading DeGrom, in my head that says the Mets are like, all right, we're waving the white flag, we're going to try and make this work in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and you could also look at it from the point of view of maybe the only path they see to make it competitive in the next couple of years is to trade in essentially DeGrom, their best trade chip, to maybe add a little bit more depth, because you look at their roster and you kind of talked about it. It's like Cespedes and Conforto and not a whole lot else. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously Syndergaard when he's healthy, which he hasn't been all that much the last 2 years. That's a guy that you want to be able to build around. Steven Matz, when he's healthy, is a guy you want to build around. You know, maybe you trade DeGrom now because he's, what, 28, 29 years old? Maybe
he's, oh, no, he's 30.
He's 30. Yeah, he's 30 years old already. So he's close to the end of his quote-unquote prime. He was a late bloomer, so maybe his prime is a little extended. But you know, maybe that's what they see as, like, the best way for us to retool and become competitive next year or the year after is to trade this guy for a bunch of players that might be able to help soon, like Ian Happ, like Mike Montgomery. Maybe you throw in a guy like David Bodie as a prospect who could play all over the field. Maybe they want Tommy La Stella, who could probably be a starter on their roster. Those are the kind of players that I think they probably want. And that, I think that's what Jesse also came up with, is the idea of, you said, retooling, not rebuilding. I think that would be where the Cubs would have an advantage in this kind of thing, if that is indeed what they want, because the Brewers don't have those kind of pieces to trade. You know, like all these other teams that should be interested in DeGrom, they don't necessarily have the big league players, the guys who even have somewhat of a track record in the big leagues that they could trade, because, you know, obviously contenders aren't generally trading away with players like that.
Yeah, no, that's really it. If the Mets do decide they want to make this a quick turnaround, the Cubs probably have an advantage if they really want to make something happen. But in my head, I feel like if the Mets are kind of giving up and deciding that DeGrom is the piece they need to move, realistically, you're probably saying, well, you know what, we'll probably get better value out of young players that have a higher ceiling than a guy that can come and compete now on a team that we're still not sure who's going to be on it in 3 years, you know?
Right. Well, and also don't forget that Ian Happ is like 23 years old.
And exactly. Yeah. I mean, so he's a piece that you could. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say. So, I mean, he's. I mean, he has a big league track record to a degree because he came up last year, performed well. Start of this year was frustrated and has been better lately. But he's also basically prospect age, so he's. He's a guy you've used up a little bit of his service time, but really that's it. If you're looking for a young guy that you could build around, and he could be a guy like that. He's only 23, so yeah, you would like a guy like that, right?
Yeah, very true. I mean, you talk about any of the position players that Cubs would be trading, I guess, in this scenario being, you know, Happ, Russell, or whatnot. I mean, both young, both still not entering their prime yet or about to. I mean, they're all enticing. I mean, you talk about any player on the Cubs position or on the actual 25-man roster position-wise, there's not too many guys that are under, you know, or that are over 26 that, you know, wouldn't be enticing. So, I don't know. There's options. It just, I guess, it always comes down to, I feel like the Cubs, if they really want to, could make just about any trade they want. It just depends on what they're willing to give up.
Yeah, and I thought from the start that the Mets would have to be asking for one of Contreras, Baez, or Schwarber. Which I feel like they, for this player and for the fact that he has two more years under contract on a good contract, team-friendly contract, that would be the kind of player that they have the right to demand in that
right.
and that the Cubs would be crazy if they traded Baez or Contreras specifically. Schwarber is a little more debatable, but those are three guys that you absolutely want to hold on to in addition to Bryant and Rizzo. Pretty much everybody else on the roster should be available, but you know, those are the guys that I feel like the Mets should want. And
yeah,
that's a reason why I always thought this deal was a non-starter from the start.
Yeah, I agree. But just quickly, how crazy would it be if the Mets traded some of their pitching for some of these lauded bats that the Cubs had, just like, you know, when they met each other in the NLCS in 2015? And it was like, you know, the big debate is like, you know, was it better to draft a bunch of pitching or was it better to draft a bunch of hitters? And, you know, of course, the Cubs have a World Series ring and the Mets haven't been back to the playoffs since. And it's just it's interesting that ESPN tried to turn it into like a big topic. And now it's like very clearly like, well, the Mets pitching can't stay healthy and the Cubs seem to have too many bats.
Yeah, right. I feel like the answer to that has been pretty clear for a while now, right? Like, you know, you get a bunch of pitchers. You can only put five men in a rotation. If two of them get hurt, you're kind of screwed. The Cubs, you know, you have all these position players and guys who you can rotate in and out, and injuries. They have guys who can come in and step up, and you know, even guys like David Bodie, who is not a top prospect, but a lot of people have high opinions of around baseball and feel like he could be, you know, a career like utility guy who plays all over the field and do that really well. That's a guy that the Cubs have in their system who came up and played third base while Bryant was out and absolutely, you know, was killing it. So, yeah, I think that debate has been ended.
Yeah, not much of a debate anymore. That's for sure.
Right. Well, so we've decided it. The Cubs are trading for Jacob DeGrom. It's sealed. Stamp it. Yeah, send it off. It's going to be Ian Happ and Mike Montgomery and, let's say, Adbert Alzolay and Miguel Amaya, or maybe Miguel Amaya and David Bodie.
Done. Yeah, done. All we got to do is pick his jersey number now. Let's go.
Yep.
Congrats, Cubs fans.
Yep. Get the press conference started. The playoff rotation will be DeGrom, then Lester, then Hendricks, then either Q or Darvish. It's sealed. It's done.
Oh, geez. All right. I mean, what's the point of even watching the rest of the baseball season, right?
Yep. Just fast forward to October, baby. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap on that. We can go to the third segment and talk about a poll that I ran on the Locked On Cubs Twitter account. So yesterday I ran this poll that I thought was pretty interesting, and the results were basically what I thought they would be. But I said, forget what the deal would cost in terms of prospects. If you could only have one, which player would you prefer the Cubs to trade for? And the options I gave were Zach Britton, J-Hap, Tyson Ross, who is having a very good season, a bounce-back season with the San Diego Padres and has really good peripheral numbers, and or Brad Hand, who's the Padres' left-handed reliever, their closer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you what you thought the results of this poll would be.
I would be very confident in saying that everyone would be saying Zach Britton, like hands down.
All right, so you are wrong.
Wow, they go Brad Hand?
Brad Hand with 54% of the vote, which is what I thought would happen because he has the, the two, like the rest of this year plus two more years of control.
Sure.
Britton has the injury past, although he's been good when he's not injured. Britton followed up at 26%, J-Hap at 16%, and only 4% said Tyson Ross. So like 9 or 10 people, like their finger slipped and hit Tyson Ross.
That's probably, I was going to say, that's like probably a mistake for sure.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I probably agree with that. I think Brad Hand is the right guy if you can make that deal. If you're saying forget what it costs in terms of prospects, I think Zach Britton costs way less in prospects.
I would agree with you on that. I mean, I think like when you're talking about like the more valuable piece, it's clearly Brad Hand just because controllability wise, I mean, that's huge. Get 2 years a guy that's, Brad Hand's like 28, 29. He's getting close to 30, I know. But
yeah.
I mean, that's a good piece to add. He's been one of the best relievers in baseball that, no one seems to talk about outside of the trade deadlines and the off season. But yeah, honestly, kudos to the Lockdown Cubs fans. That's a very smart decision. I would say if I put that poll up on my Twitter, no offense to any of my Twitter followers, but I think a lot of people would be like, Zach Britton's a name we know. Let's pick Zach Britton. But
Lockdown Cubs fans are intelligent. They're very smart people, yes, obviously, because they're listening to this podcast.
Very true. I mean, kudos to you. Just pat on the back. Give yourself a pat on the back. We made it through the All-Star break with content. It's been great.
Give yourself a pat on the back. Then go leave us a 5-star review.
Exactly. I mean, if you want to, but we'd like it anyways. I honestly, any of those pitchers, if we added them, I wouldn't be upset about any of those guys coming onto the Cubs. Clearly I think the biggest impact would be a Britton or a Hand type of player just to that bullpen, just because it gives you maybe not necessarily like a guaranteed backup closure, but it gives you a lot more flexibility. It gives you, options in the postseason. On top of that, you've also got, a backup for Morrow, so in case he does need to go back-to-back days or whatever it may be, you've got a guy like Britton who was legitimately a Cy Young candidate just a couple of years ago. So I'd be okay with either one of those, but even if we add Tyson Ross or J-Hap, I mean, that's a huge improvement over the struggling Chatwood. So I mean, I'd be okay with any of those options.
I feel like they're all positives. They're all net positives for the Cubs if they trade for him, but I tend to agree that the best would be for them to get Brad to give the bullpen a hand.
I'll let that go.
All right. Do we have a question from the listeners or no? Are we done?
I had a question at one point, but I can't seem to find it anymore. So
all right, that's perfectly fine. We've done enough. We've speculated on Jacob DeGrom. I don't think there's any speculation anymore. The Cubs are 100% definitely trading for him, and this is in no way tongue in cheek.
Yeah, no, it's done. Congrats, everyone. Shake Aaron's hands.
And shake Brad Hand.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening. This is episode 107 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Ryan Davis. You can find my work at occasionally The Athletic, other places like Bet Chicago, and others that should be coming up. You can also find Sean at NBC Sports Chicago, at Fansided on the 312 podcast as well. Anything else that I missed?
No, you got it.
Nailed it. All right. Thanks, guys.